Now one of the hard boulders bears us forward. The river mist forms shadows overhead and shields the shores and water from the fire. Just as between Wissant and Bruges, the Flemings, in terror of the tide that floats toward them, have built a wall of dikes to daunt the sea. And as the Paduans along the Brenta build bulwarks to defend their towns and castles before the dog days fall on Caratana. Just so were these embankments. Even though they were not built so high and not so broad, whoever was the artisan who made them. By now we were so distant from the wood that I should not have made out where it was, not even if I'd turned around to look. When we came upon a company of spirits who made their way along the bank, and each stared steadily at us as in the dusk beneath the new moon, men look at each other. They knit their brows and squinted at us, just as an old tailor at his needle's eye. And when that family looked harder, I was recognized by one who took me by the hand and cried out, "This is marvelous." That spirit, having stretched his arm toward me, I fixed my eyes upon his baked, brown features so that the scorching of his face could not prevent my mind from recognizing him. And lowering my face to meet his, I answered him, "Are you here, Sir Brunetto?" And he, "My son, do not mind if Brunetto Latino lingers for a while with you and lets the file he is with pass on ahead." I said, "With all my strength, I pray you stay. And if you'd have me rest a while with you, I shall, if that please him with whom I go." "Oh, son," he said, "whoever of this flock stops but a moment stays 100 years and cannot shield himself when fire strikes. Therefore move on below, but close I'll follow. And then I shall rejoin my company, who go lamenting their eternal sorrows." I did not dare to leave my path for his own level, but I walked with head bent low, as does a man who goes in reverence. And he began, "What destiny or chance has led you here below before your last day came? And who is he who shows the way?" "There in the sunlit life above," I answered, "before my years were full, I went astray within a valley. Only yesterday at dawn I turned my back upon it. But when I was newly lost, he here appeared to guide me home again along this path. And he to me, 'If you pursue your star, you cannot fail to reach a splendid harbor, if in fair life I judged you properly. And if I had not died too soon for this, on seeing heaven was so kind to you, I should have helped sustain you in your work. Yet that malicious, that ungrateful people come down in ancient times from Fiesole, still keeping something of the rock and mountain. For your good deeds will be your enemy. And there is cause among the sour sorbs. The sweet fig is not meant to bear its fruit. The world has long since called them blind, a people presumptuous, avaricious, envious. Be sure to cleanse yourself of their foul ways. Your fortune holds in store such honor for you. One party and the other have been hungry for you, but keep the grass far from the goat. For let the beasts of Fiesole find a forage among themselves, and leave the plant alone, if still among their dung it rises up, in which there lives again a sacred seed of those few Romans who remained in Florence when such a nest of wickedness was built. If my desire were answered totally," I said to Ser Brunetto, "you'd still be among, not banished from, humanity. Within my memory is fixed, and now moves me, your dear, your kind, paternal image, when in the world above, from time to time, you taught me how man makes himself eternal. And while I live, my gratitude for that must always be apparent in my words. What you have told me in my course, I write. I keep it with another text, for comment by one who will understand, if I may reach her. One thing alone I'd have you plainly see. So long as I am not rebuked by conscience, I stand prepared for fortune, come what may. My ears find no new pledge in that prediction. Therefore, let fortune turn her wheel as she may please, and let the peasant turn his mattock." At this, my master turned his head around and toward the right and looked at me and said, "He who takes note of this has listened well." But nonetheless, my talk with Ser Brunetto continued, and I ask of him, "Who are his comrades of repute and excellence?" And he to me, "To know of some is good, but for the rest, silence is to be praised. The time we have is short for so much talk. In brief, know that my company has clerics and men of letters and of fame, and all are stained by one same sin upon the earth. That sorry crowd holds Priscian and Francesco da Corso, and among them you can see, if you have any longing for such scurf, the one the servant of his servants sent from the Arno to the Bacchili di on his banks, and there he left his tendons strained by sin. I would say no more, but both my walk and words must not be longer, for beyond I see new smoke emerging from the sandy bed. Now people come with whom I must not be. Let my tesoro, in which I still live, be precious to you, and I ask no more." And then he turned and seemed like one of those who race across the fields to win the green cloth of Verona. Of those runners, he appeared to be the winner, not the loser.